Welcome, everybody. If you are looking for the session on creating intranet sites in SharePoint Online, you have found the right room, so thank you for coming.
Congratulations.
So for those of you that have been here for the past few minutes, you've seen us frantically working to get our resolution correct. So we got all the gremlins out, so hopefully the rest of the session is going to go off without a hitch.
That was our one gremlin.
Yeah, that was our one gremlin. So in this session, we're going to talk about intranets. Right? Creating intranets is easy. We probably all have intranets at our companies in various shapes or forms. But the fact is that everybody kind of thinks that they're not hard. But in reality, every time that I go around and I see clients and I talk to different customers and I talk to other people, I find that I hear lots of horror stories about these easy intranets that should be so simple to create go awry in one form or fashion. And in this session, we want to talk about this problem, talk about things that you can do in order to kind of help make things a little bit better for you on your intranet, create something that's a little bit nicer. So we're going to talk about the recipe basically for creating an intranet. And if you're familiar with Office 365, you're aware that Office 365 offers the SharePoint Online component. And that's a great opportunity for you to go out and take the great things that that Office 365 offers and leverage that SharePoint Online component to create a great intranet experience in your organization. So I don't know if anybody here is into cooking or anything like that, but I wanted to demonstrate, this is a concept that is foundational whenever you're learning to cook. It's called mise en place. And it's kind of basically the idea is chefs like to pre-measure and pull all their ingredients together in one place so that as they're cooking, they can kind of add things to their dish so that at the end, they come out with something that tastes delicious, but it's also there's an orderly process that they follow in order to cook these things. It literally is a French term that translates to everything in place. And so that's kind of the theme for intranets, at least from our perspective, is that you've got the tools, the recipes that are all the different parts and pieces of SharePoint, and when you bring them out and you understand these different ingredients that you have available to you, when you pull them together in the right way, you can create solutions that deliver lots of value for your organization. So kind of before we get started, I thought it might be good to take a step back and introduce ourselves.
So hey, I'm Randy Driscoll. I do branding and design all day with SharePoint 2013. You may know me from SharePoint 911 days, but now we work for Rackspace Hosting. We do the same thing there. Worked on a SharePoint 2010 branding book, and we're trying to write a SharePoint 2013 branding book, and you can check out my blog and Twitter, and I'm down there in Orlando.
Yeah, and I'm John Ross. I used to be the custom solutions lead, but that my title has technically changed, and I haven't quite figured out whatever makes the most sense now. But worked on a lot of the same stuff. Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter and check out my blog. I write about a whole mess of different topics and everything. But just a quick reminder that we are down in Orlando, Florida. So if anybody happens to be from our side of the world, we do run user groups down there, and we're out and about in the SharePoint Saturdays. So come out to the user group and say hi. So I wanted to give a quick overview of sort of what we're going to talk about in this session. We're going to start off from talking about Office 365 and SharePoint Online specifically, provide you a high-level overview of just kind of the various options, a couple options for SKUs that are out there you can check out. And then from there we're going to move into talking about planning. We believe that planning is a fundamental component to any project, but specifically, in this case we're talking about intranets. Talk about what type of planning makes the most sense in order to yield great results on your intranet. And then we're going to kind of dive down into various intranet scenarios. And so we've broken those out into a couple things. They're not actually in the correct order here, but we're going to start off talking about collaboration. What can you do in your organization from a collaboration perspective, where people are in there doing work, creating documents, sharing documents, and we'll talk about a lot of the different types of collaboration. I know there's going to be lots of sessions that are going to cover a lot of these things as it relates to SharePoint 2013. And so we're not going to deep dive into every one of those capabilities and every menu and everything like that. We want to, you know, you can think about this as we want to help you understand the tools that are in your tool belt and how you can arrange those for success on your intranet. From there, we're going to talk about branding and creating a portal and kind of ultimately bringing all of these pieces together into something that that can ultimately be leveraged to create a great intranet in your environment.
So we don't want to talk too much about the SKUs and how much different things cost for Office 365. I've seen the chart of all the different kinds they sell, and it's confusing to me. But if you have questions afterwards, we have our Microsoft friend here with the dapper curly mustache there you could talk to about all this stuff. But the point of this slide is to talk about the big difference is small business and enterprise. So if you have small business, you have one site collection for collaboration, and you have one public website that you can use to put out a public-facing website, et cetera. And so in the enterprise plan, though, you start off with a collaboration site, but you can create publishing sites underneath of it. And that has some key features that we're going to talk about throughout this session. And so we'll try to highlight when we're talking about a publishing site versus a regular site. And that way you can know that those features really only apply to if you have an enterprise SKU.
All right, so we're gonna start this show off, like I said, talking about planning. And I'm sure that there's a lot of folks in here. I mean, when you think about intranets, and I mean, we've all, like I said, it's a concept that everybody kind of assumes is really easy, and in truth, it's really not hard. But in a lot of cases, we've seen examples of companies where they've basically completely skipped past planning and gone straight to implementation. Maybe somebody had some sort of test environment that they let their HR department signed up for an Office 365 account, and HR gets something going, and then all of a sudden that becomes production, and that never yields great results. So I'm not just making that up, though. You know, the statistics show that if we look at these stats, these are legitimate real stats. They were pulled from 2007, but I would imagine if you were to pull them today, they're probably pretty similar. But the idea that, you know, there's over 62% of projects overrun on time, nearly half of projects overrun on budget, and you know, 28% of organizations are saying that the projects aren't even the final project that's implemented doesn't fit the original business requirements. So you know, I bet if we were to poll the audience, I bet all of us have been involved in at least one project that wasn't really great.
I have.
But when we talk about the criteria that goes in to determine the success or failure of a project, we got many different many different aspects that go into it. In a recent survey, project management was the largest criteria or largest determinant for project success or failure. But only 3% of projects were determined success or failure based on the technology. So really what we're getting at here is that the planning component has a significant impact on what is ultimately deemed as a successful project. So if we kind of think about, you know, from a planning perspective, and we go the first question a lot of people are going to ask is, okay, you know, we do planning. You know, if I were to do a project, what is that even going to look like? I mean, if we were to put that together in a Gantt chart, which really wouldn't make a super great slide. So this is kind of our generic Gantt. But you know, what do all these pieces look like? Well, we're going to come back to this later on in the session. But at the beginning, when we talk about planning, obviously planning is what we do at the very beginning. And when you're thinking about, you know, the different pieces and people that you have doing things, you have your project managers, your business analysts, and everything that are working with your stakeholders to go in and create and design whatever this thing is that you're going to make. And this could be done on a small scale, it could be done on a large scale. It really doesn't, really depends on your organization. You've got to have like a plan that fits the size of your organization. But from there, we have our implementation component, which is the purple arrows in the center. And the key thing to point out about this is that these different activities are being run in parallel. So I wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, you do planning, it takes a certain amount of time. After you get through the planning and you get to the implementation, there's multiple activities that can happen at the same time. So when you're thinking about how long is it going to take to create this great intranet that we're trying to do, just remember, there can be multiple work streams, and a lot of this is going to be dependent on hopefully you have a different person doing these different things. I mean, if I have Randy doing my entire implementation, he's doing branding, build, and development, he's obvious, you know, he's...
Won't be very parallel if it's just me doing it.
Our arrows are going to be a little bit different. But I want to specifically call out the blue arrow, because whenever we talk about implementations of any size, a lot of times people don't consider or don't take into account the aspect that once you get something online and get it all ready to go and you're ready to flip the switch, well, before you can do that, you have to put content in it. Sometimes that means that you're migrating content from another system. In other cases, maybe you have an old version of SharePoint. And we're going to talk about migration a little bit later. But there's a specific reason that the blue arrow is just as long, if not longer, than the implementation. Because when you're thinking about how long all this is going to take, it often takes just as long, if not longer, than the implementation to actually get all the content in there. And that's an important thing I want to mention, because when we talk about why projects overrun on time and budget, a lot of times it's because people aren't really thinking about all this extra effort that has to go into migration and content.
You're assuming they don't already have a site. You know, they have some site that they're bringing
into. Yeah, if you're doing a greenfield implementation, obviously you have nothing to migrate. But if you do, you want to make sure that you take that into account. So, you know, once we get into that and we kind of understand who's going to be involved in what, at the very beginning we're going to talk about vision and goals. The key part here, I'm not going to, you know, go into a ton of detail on this, because I think we all really know what's going on here. But you want to write them down, make sure that you understand what it is that you're going to accomplish. And ideally, a former boss of mine once told me, you know, how do we know when we're done, or how do you know when you got there? So the idea is come up with some goals that are measurable, so that once you've achieved them or once you've written them down, you can go at the end of the project and go back and say, did we do these things that we said we were going to do? It's a measure of success criteria that you can go ahead, that you'd be able to go and take to your boss and say, look at how great this intranet that we created is, and look at all the business value that we generated, because we did exactly what we said we were going to do. But, you know, when you think about, you know, vision statements or goals, you know, I have a couple examples here. You know, for vision, create an effective communication and collaboration tool for the company's geographically dispersed employees. You know, your vision is obviously going to be something that's going to be unique to your organization, but that's kind of a big overarching statement, right? That, you know, and ideally you want to make sure that any design decisions that you're making throughout your entire project are going to be in line with whatever that big vision is that you have. From there, your goals that you create should be specific as well and should ultimately support your vision. So in this case, you know, I wanted to call out, you know, the goals could be as simple as saying, hey, we want to turn off an old system. Or they could be more specific by saying, we want to reduce IT support costs by moving our site to the cloud for, you know, and we want to reduce costs by 20%. You know, so all of those things are keep in the back of your mind. And like I said, make sure at some point that you capture these somewhere. Don't just like write it on a napkin somewhere. You want to make sure that it's, if you write it on a napkin, just make sure that you know where you put the napkin.
Store it in your old SharePoint site.
Yeah, so then we're going to go, you know, then after you do that, you want to go in and you're going to gather requirements and, you know, things about, a couple things that are important to think about. Who's going to be using your site? What do they want to do? If you have sales guys that are going in, maybe sales guys want to do something different from the IT. It doesn't matter, but think about realistically and honestly the different types of users and what it is that they're going to be doing. Understand the major types of content that each one of these groups are creating and using. Do you have corporate style guidelines? Maybe you've got some sort of big fat style book that you need to keep in mind. Or, you know, think about, you know, how are people going to get around and find the stuff? These are all things I'm not really going to, you know, it's all going to be unique to you to you all in your situation. But, you know, keep those in the back of your mind. So rather than going through and telling you specifically, you know, write these requirements and this is exactly what you need, it's going to be different. I just want to show you a couple examples of the difference of what I consider good requirements versus bad requirements. In my previous life, I was a business analyst. And one of the things as a business analyst we would always say is number one rule of business analysis was to eliminate assumptions. So if we look at a good requirement would be the site will support a specific resolution before it gets scroll bars. That's good. What's bad is, you know, if somebody were to say something very general, like just do what everybody else does, right? So we want something that's specific that we can go back and again measure whether or not we did these things. So, keep that in mind. But as we go through and we think about planning, I would say that if you're going to remember one thing of what I told about this first section on planning, I'd say the number one thing that you want to keep in mind is you want to make sure that you write it down. We have a number. We've had a number of clients that we've worked with, and over the years and over many different companies and everything. But I've heard someone say to me, we don't have to be so formal because the client that we're working with or the customer that we're working with, they're really nice and they're really good clients, and we don't have to be so formal, and we'll be good. But the problem is, at some point, inevitably, there's going to come a time when there's going to be some sort of discrepancy, disagreement, whatever, and people stop being friendly and nice once once there becomes a disagreement. It tends to be a lot of finger pointing, and so it can be simple, but you have the amount of detail that you have needs to reflect the size of the project. But write it down, put it in a paper, put it in. I mean, it could be even as simple as writing it down in an email and sending an email to the client and say, are we all on the same page with this? Write back and tell me yes. And if they write back and tell you yes, and you've done it, reasonably specific enough, you're good to go. So then, in the event they said, no, that's not what I said, we can refer back to it and say, well, yes, you did. This is exactly what we said.
And all of that applies inside the org, too. So if you have a stakeholder, that sort of thing. We tend to talk about clients, but our clients often have to do the same thing for their bosses, their owners, et cetera, get stakeholders to sign off on decisions.
Right, and like I said, make sure that you communicate this plan to everybody. If we do this in secret, that's not good. So you want to communicate it to your stakeholders, and you want to make sure that they all agree. Send the email around, make sure you get feedback, and make sure everybody says, yeah, we're good. And then, make sure it's in a place where people can look at it in the event that there is something down the line that you need to go back and refer to. Want to make sure you can actually find it, because I think we've all, again, probably been in situations where there has been discrepancies, and we have like five people coming through email trying to find things, and that can be kind of tricky. So just kind of keep that in mind. But now we're going to jump on over to the collaboration side of the house, and I think collaboration is really, whenever you think about SharePoint, obviously collaboration and SharePoint are synonymous. So, you're going to go in, you're going to create your plan of what you're going to want to do, and likely you're going to have a lot of goals around collaboration. So, when you think of collaboration, I'm sure that some variant of this slide has been communicated in half of the presentations here. But, the idea around collaboration is we have multiple people that are working together to, work toward the same goal. And SharePoint Online is a tremendous platform to help facilitate that. Now we're going to kind of walk through a lot of these different scenarios and what SharePoint 2013 brings to the table. But when you think of collaboration sites, it's really where a lot of the work gets done in your site. I mean, I always use the example of to say, like, whenever you're designing or thinking about a site, you have to think about where you have these various audiences and people that are in your, using your site. Where are they going to go to do their work in the morning? When I open up my computer and I open up my browser, where do I go to do my job? And likely, that's going to be in the collaboration sites. And what your job is going to be really different. Everybody's got different things, but with SharePoint, we've got several different examples of where you can go to do those types of work. And I mean, from a SharePoint perspective, we're talking about team sites, we're talking about communities, we're talking about the social and personal sites within SharePoint, we're talking about search. There's different levels and different types of communication, and we're gonna kinda go through some of these examples, but when you're going and thinking about what it is that you're creating for your intranet, from a collaboration perspective, the mix of these ingredients, so to speak, are really going to be what's going to determine your overall collaboration strategy. So when you think about that idea about practical examples, I just gave you SharePoint names of templates and things like that, but when you think about practical examples in your organization, most all of you have departments, right? So you're going to have a department site. And a department site, you could have HR, finance, engineering, whatever it is. That's going to be where people are going to go. They're going to store their documents. They're going to do their day-to-day job. And they're going to, track tasks, calendars, and just other things that they're doing in their day-to-day job. And hopefully as you're doing these things, you'll be able to create some sort of maybe share key business data just by just doing your job. You go in, you're doing tasks, you're uploading things, and then you'll be able to surface it through various graphs and other ways to visualize that data. Probably overwhelmingly, the most common collaboration scenario that we see, whether it's we're talking about universities, corporations, nonprofits, everybody has some manner of something that's very similar to department sites. So we're going to show some practical examples of that in just a second here. Another thing that's becoming increasingly more common, especially with SharePoint 2013, is around discussion groups to share ideas, or in SharePoint 2013, this concept is referred to as communities. It's this place where you can go in and you can brainstorm ideas, or just generally search to find whatever answers to questions that you might have. I always use the example of, whenever in the past I was looking to go on a cruise, and we wanted to take my two-year-old daughter, and we weren't sure which cruise lines supported two-year-olds. You know, if you were in a company or something like that, or in my case, if I had a discussion list, this is a great place where you can go out and say, hey, where's a good place that I can go on a vacation with my two-year-old that'll, I can get care for him. And, you have something like a community where people can reach out to you and say, hey, I have some experience in this and I can help you. And communities in SharePoint 2013 are a great way to kind of share these ideas. Or even if you don't know, you can go out to a community and say, hey, I'm looking for information on this. Who should I talk to? And people can say, hey, I know Bob over in accounting might know something about that, and then can, help you get along your way to find that information. But, I mean, all of that really is kind of, it kind of talks about, it all kind of falls under the whole social umbrella. That social is now, weaved into the fabric of pretty much everything that we do, especially in SharePoint. So social comes up in a number of different ways, whether we're talking about people's, the my sites, the personal sites, whatever you want to refer to them, people search. I'm going to kind of demo both of these here in a second, as well as tagging. So, these are all different components, but all of them are collaborative and are really these social capabilities are changing the way that companies collaborate in the organization. In another presentation I do, we talk a little bit about the business value of social. And social used to be just sort of a buzzword. Everybody thought, if we do Facebook in the industry, then, everybody's we're going to lose productivity and nobody's going to do anything and, we're going to be wasting time. But the fact is that there is real tangible information and statistics out there that show that social is driving real business value. So it's an important component that you want to make sure that you kind of are including as part of your collaboration strategy. It's a little bit different, so I want to make sure we toss that out there. And then search, one of my personal favorite big changes with SharePoint 2013 is the addition of the new search capabilities. And I'll kind of show that off here in a second. But I guess now is the time that I'm going to show.
Time.
So when we hop over here, hopefully the... So this is an example of right here. This is kind of the example of the Contoso homepage. And so as you can see, I'm going to go back and we're going to talk about portals a little bit later. But the thing that I want to point out as it relates to collaboration is pay attention to a little bit about how these sites are set up. So over here, we've got our department sites. And so if we're thinking about how we're going to set it up, we'll have our various departments over here. So I'll click on engineering and we'll go to the engineering site to just kind of see a little quick example of kind of what we're talking about. So I think I think this needs to warm up here, so give me just a second. But
the clouds are tired.
Yeah. So I'm gonna click on this and hopefully it'll be kind for me in just a second. But what I want you to pay attention though is the navigation that we have here is pretty common, where we've got a social area which is communities. We've got our departments area, which is where all of our departments are, which is where people will go and are doing their work and such. We've got our employee section. The employee section has various services that might be relative to what a specific employee would want to go, facilities, resources, and then we're going to talk about this over here in a little bit. But essentially, this is kind of like the big breakdown that we would want to have that you would probably have some combination of in your environment. So, let's see. Let's try my other browser here. See if maybe this one's happier. I don't know why it's not. I don't know why it's not being happy.
We could blame the connectivity in the building, maybe?
Yeah, I don't really...
You all been liking the Wi-Fi in the building so far?
Now, I'm not going over Wi-Fi. I have a hard...
Shh, don't tell them that.
I have a hard wire, but anyway. So let's... Maybe if we keep going, we can come back. We can come back and talk about this.
Let me see if I can get it up while you.
Yeah. So we'll kind of switch back over and we'll kind of hop back to this demo. We'll kind of keep rolling. Not sure why it's not happy. So normally, whenever when we look at SharePoint, we talk about collaboration, all places where people do work. Portals are kind of our idea about how you bring that work together, how you bring it together in a single location, and kind of, when you think about what is a portal, it's a way that you bring lots of diverse information together in one place. And so what I like to say is whenever you boot up your internet browser, where do you go? Like, where's the first page that you go to? You know, I have... whether it's like a Yahoo start page or MSN or some of these other places, it's a way that you can bring disparate information together into one place so that you can jump off into other sources. So it's kind of what you can do in your organization. So
I'll go back to here.
My good friend Randy is telling me that the demo has started working now.
It's working a little better.
So so we're going to hop back over. We'll come back to talk about...
I had to re-log in, I guess.
We'll come back and talk about the myth of portals over here. So anyway, what I was showing was, if we go over here to engineering, and now hopefully this is actually going to work whenever I click
it's
on engineering.
Again, I'm sure.
Hey, it worked.
Ignore that. That's Adobe's problem right there.
Okay. So we'll go to, what about finance? Maybe finance is happier.
Finance, they love it in finance.
Sales and marketing? All right, let's go to sales and marketing. Okay. I had a request from the audience for sales and marketing, so we'll talk about that.
Nice.
So this is an example of kind of a department site. And I think the idea here in this would be, you know, we're going to go in, and you can see there's lots of information being created. We've got a PowerPoint presentation that's a featured expansion, and it's showing us what's going on. We can kind of scroll through that. We've got other information that's rolling up. That's showing a status. We've got the top-rated documents. So this is a place that if I'm sales and marketing, I can go and I can see all the information that I have that's being created in my department front and center, and helps me figure out, you know, what's going on within sales and marketing. But then from there, you know, let's say I'm on the domestic sales department, so I'm using the wrong mouse. But if I jump over into the domestic sales, you know, I'm kind of diving down a little bit farther into the organization. And what we'll always talk about is typically the farther you get away from the root page, the more kind of content focused you get. So in this case, we're going to jump down into the domestic sales. And as you can see, they've got some very specific things like group calendars, announcements, you know, and a whole bunch of other things that are going on. So in your organization, this is likely something similar that we would see, where you would start off with kind of like a high-level department page. It's going to give everybody the idea about what's going on in the organization, and then from there...
Stuff that matters for your department, not every department.
Show us some metrics and all that other stuff. And then, so one of the tips that I would kind of give is, one of the things that you can do is you can create some of these collaboration sites. And then once you create them, you can pre-configure them in a way that's relatively generic. So what I could do is, if I knew that, you know, I was going to create, I obviously have sales and marketing is probably, you know, I have one sales and marketing root site or big department site, and then underneath that I'm going to have lots of sub-sites. So what I could do here is, if I really like this, you know, I could create a template that I would use, that I would pre-configure it with all of the, you know, lists and libraries and tasks lists and everything. And a lot of that's already in here. But what if I have specific requirements that I wanted? Like, I wanted to go into my document libraries and I wanted to make sure versioning was set up the way that I wanted to, or, you know, any of those other types of aspects. I wanted to make sure I configured everything. I could go in, I can configure all of those things. And then once I do that, I can go in and I can click Site Settings, and I can save this site as a template. And what that'll do is it'll save the template to my solution store. I'm not going to do that right now, But what it'll do is it'll save a WSP to the solution store that you could then go and you can, what I'll do a lot of times is create a template, configure it with kind of helpful information for the departments to kind of get started. A lot of times we're deploying this to departments who the people aren't necessarily SharePoint experts. So what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll create a get started quick document or some other how-to documents. We'll save it in our template so that when we create it, they can just open it, they can create the site, get it going, and then within a few minutes start putting content in there and start generating real business value for what they're doing. So if I were to do that right now, the only thing that the only problem with that, where'd my mouse go? There it is. So what I would do if I were to go to do this, the problem with that is that in this case, my sales, if I were to go to my sales and marketing site, the sales and marketing site is set up as a publishing site. So if you did happen to do this, and I think it's actually really a good idea where your sales and marketing sites are leveraging kind of publishing or something like that, and you create a template, a little quick pro tip that I would give you is you need to make sure that you go under page layouts and site templates here under look and feel in site settings. And you need to make sure that if you have a custom template, like in my case, I have one called department template, that I would make sure that I added my department template over there as a valid subsite that I can create so that the next time I go, it'll show up as an option for me. So when I go down here and I say okay, I don't know if anybody's ever shown this, but I'll kind of show it. There's a little bit, if you create a subsite, it's a little bit different now. If we go to click the little gear here and we click on site contents, the create a new subsite is actually down here in this interface. So if I click on new subsite, I have my custom template that I've created will show up under there under the custom tab. So you could create a series of templates here, whether it was for department sites, whether it was for other types of collaboration sites, be it blogs or wikis or whatever. You pre-configure them, save those options out, and have them be deployed here. So it kind of gives you, the key here is you create all this stuff and it gives you a way to kind of rapidly create lots of different sites. You pre-configure them and almost, you give the power out to your users so they can build out, sales and marketing can build out their collaboration and other departments can build out theirs as they like. But, you know, this is just one form of collaboration. Another way that you can kind of do collaboration is around the communities. Actually, I think communities is another one of the areas I think that's a huge new thing that's been added. So in the past we had discussion lists, but now we have a lot more with communities. It brings us a lot more functionality. So here's kind of an example of if we go to the marketing topics section. As you can see, this looks really this looks substantially different from how discussion lists had been set up in SharePoint 2010. But in SharePoint 2013, now we have these. Now we have just a much more rich interface that we can see. We have all of our discussions that are being created, and within those discussions, we can do other things like we can have likes. You know, so it's not just you can get a measure of how many people have not only contributed to the thread, but then we can also have people going in and saying, "Hey, this is a really great thread. I'm gonna vote it up," so that we can go back and look which communications here are the most valuable for whatever the purpose is. But even above and beyond that, we can measure, you know, other things like who are our top contributors, who's doing the most posting in here. And we can also set up badges and give people, indicate who are the specific thought leaders in whatever specific area. So in this particular community, you can see that this Pavel is an expert in this particular topic. So that if you do identify some people as being particular experts in whatever community, and you see that, you know, hey, Pavel responded to me, you know that you're getting good information from a good source, and it's a way to help organize, you know, a lot of these type of social interactions. But you know, but beyond that, again, when you look at kind of the top level community site, you can see here that you have a nice interface that kind of rolls everything up into sort of a consolidated place. But again, this really is is just sort of one way of, you know, just another high-level way of collaboration. And I know I've said a lot of things are my favorite, but in you know, I have a particular soft spot for the new new searching capability. So I just typed a search here, and I think it says it's working on it. There it is. All right, so I did a search on marketing, and you can see whenever it comes back that it's immediately different from what we've seen within SharePoint 2010. We've got these visual refiners over here so that we get a sense of when information is coming back. We can use this little slider here to change the criteria of what's being refined. We've got all of these different various refiners over here to the left. And actually, I should have gone back to the root and done this search because it's actually a little bit better. So like when we go in and we do this, you could see that we've got all these different types of. You could see whenever I hover over a PowerPoint application or a PowerPoint result, now I've got this big preview that's going on here, which is again being served up through something that's called display templates. So you have the ability to customize the presentation of sales through the display templates. It's pretty. Pretty impressive stuff.
One nice thing about that is in 2010, customizing those display templates is just HTML and JavaScript. Instead of I said 2010, but in 2013 it's HTML and JavaScript. In 2010, it was just you had to edit XSLT, which was something that no one is really an expert in XSLT, so that was not very fun.
And so the other thing is when I click on this dropdown, you can see that we've got different scopes that have been created. So I can switch over to. I could switch over to a different scope, so we just showed you all of those communities. Well, if I did a search on marketing and I wasn't really sure, I didn't want to weed through all of those communities to see where all the information was being created, I can switch over to the communities or conversation scope, and I can search within all of those types of interactions. So it's a way to take this unstructured information that's happening over in the communities and roll it up in a way that's really useful and powerful. And then I can also continue to filter based on tags and all of these other things. So again, we're bringing all of the social experience together with collaboration all into one place. We've got a video scope here. And then the last thing that I want to point out is if I switch over to the people scope, we've got a whole bunch of information that's coming back about the individuals that are on our site. And you can see now whenever I roll over this individual, Alex, you can see all the things that are coming back that... On the right-hand side, you're seeing information about how he's identified himself, and a lot of this comes from the personal site. So when you go, when we talk about the collaborative experience, when we talk about social, when we talk about search, it should not be, don't forget about what is about these personal sites and these My Sites. It's a real huge investment by Microsoft this time to go ahead and ramp up the My Sites and make them better and more powerful. And so when you're, you know, in your organization, when you're thinking about how to find things, how to collaborate, and how to work better, and you're thinking about your planning and everything, make sure that you're thinking about the personal sites as part of your overall collaborative experience. So here's just an example. I want to click on this real quick because I think it's really cool to show information about this, about Alex's personal site. And so if we think Alex is really smart and he's really great and he's helpful to our marketing information that we're trying to track down, we can actually follow this individual so that in our own news feed, whenever he does things and makes changes and we'll have that information roll up into his news feed, which is kind of not unsimilar to, you know, what you might see in Facebook or a similar experience into your Facebook news feed. As you go through your organization and cultivate the people that you like and your colleagues and all this other stuff, this information continues to grow more rich over time that kind of ultimately will help you do your job a little bit more fast and effective. So let's switch back over. And so now we're talking about portals. Yay, portals. So remember we were talking about this like 10 minutes ago? So portals are basically, like I said, that centralized place that when I log into my website and I go where I go in the first place, and it's likely going to be a portal. And this is the big thing is that, you know, it's a website that brings together information from other places in a diverse way. But that's not really all that it is. It's more than just bringing content together. And this is an actual site, by the way.
It's not our Rackspace internet, by the way.
Yeah, my favorite is they actually sell an Airwolf helicopter over there on the right, which is pretty awesome. But you know, it's not just about bringing information together. It's about doing it well and doing it in an orderly, organized fashion. And this is an example that we actually showed in another session. But really, all we're talking about is just put some thought into what it is that you're doing. This is all communication stuff here. This isn't collaboration. We're bringing stuff together. This is the homepage for a company. This is their intranet. This happened to be one that we made. But you come in. This is the first place that people go to. They see all this stuff. They have a nice, pretty rotator and some HTML buttons. And they have a roll up there in the center, which is just the content query web part, which we're going to talk about. But this is a way to create something that's nice and organized. And if you don't know where you're going in the organization, you can go to this homepage. You can jump off to search. You can jump off to the navigation at the top. You can jump off to a number of places. And that's really the goal of a portal, is to communicate, give HR a tool, a utility, where they can kind of help the users know how to do wherever. And, you know,
it's more communicative than collaborative, and that's sort of the point.
But if you're looking for where you need to go to do your job, this should be the place that you go. Like I said, this is, why do you create a portal? You want to give your users an answer to the question of where's the first place to go when to find what they're looking for? Go to your portal. Now, that's not saying you can't, like, you know, if you don't leverage a portal that nobody can do any work. I'm saying if you have access to be able to do it, it's an additional piece of the puzzle that really can generate a lot of value. But when we talk about portals specifically as it relates to SharePoint, we're talking most specifically about web content management. And the WCM, publishing, whatever term you want to use, is really the vehicle as it relates to SharePoint that helps to create that portal experience. That page that I showed you before was a publishing page. And actually, when I showed you the sales and marketing page, that was a publishing page. That root site, also a publishing page. So, I mean, publishing absolutely works great hand-in-hand with collaboration, and that's kind of something to keep in mind. But when you think about the fundamental pieces of content management, the idea is you create a place for your information, or you create an organized structure for your information. You know, you identify which pieces of content need to go where, and then you tag it appropriately, and then you surface that information where it needs to go. So you have one source of the information and make it surface wherever it needs to. That's the basics of content management, right? Yep. And I would say that to the story that I always tell about this is that my wife is a reluctant SharePoint user as of about like a year or two ago, and came to me and said, you know, I have to learn SharePoint. And she was all sad. And I said, cool. You know, so she went out and she was tasked with creating a SharePoint site. And I'm using the term SharePoint site very generally right now. She goes, I looked at our file share, and I'm just going to take our file share and look at all the folders and recreate that in SharePoint. Isn't that a great idea? And I said, no, that is a terrible idea. Don't do that. And I explained to her about the basics of web content management and how to set things up and how to create a portal using some of these things like, you know, the content query web part and tag and metadata and all this other stuff. And she did it. And it worked really, really well. And it worked so well, she got a raise. And that's not a joke. Well, I'm sorry. She didn't get a raise. She got a bonus. Within her company, they actually go back and reference the site that she used as an example of a great site and what other people should do. So I want to pass along my wife's message or my wife's lesson about, you know, by thinking about what SharePoint offers from a WCM perspective, and you think about that in terms of how can you best, you know, structure and create a portal, which is exactly what she did to roll up information about her companies like mergers and acquisitions and things like that, you can do really great things. And so, you know, kind of the, within SharePoint, you're talking about, you know, when we talk about the authoring experience, page layouts, we're going to demonstrate that in a second. Yep. Content query web part is the way that you roll that information up from page layouts and surface it on the page. When we talk about controlled publishing, we're talking about the publishing workflows. That means you create information, you say submit for approval or publish, and it's not necessarily like in the collaboration sites where you go in, you edit something, you hit save, and it's automatically live. There's an intermediary step, And through these controlled publishing, you can do sort of basic stuff, or you can even do more complicated approval workflows if you really want to. And you know, typically people will bring that together with branding, which is what Randy's going to talk about here in a second. But right now, we're going to give you kind of a quick tour of what's possible with WCM and the content query web parts.
So let's try to show some of this. We'll see. Hopefully everything, our demo daemons are cleared out or whatever. So what I wanted to show you here is you could imagine this is like the top level, but I put some of it a little bit lower. But you could imagine it all being like your portal site or whatever, right? So I created some publishing pages over here because I'm, you know, I have some waffle pages, so to speak, even though I just have like fake content here. It's not very exciting, I will admit, but if I put it in edit mode, you could see in a second that there's a page layout associated to this, and it's checked out to me. All this works very similar to how it did in 2010, but you know, I can change the content, I could change the image, I can do the date, and so it's controlled. It's not just regular old content on the page. It's saying, you know, this is going to be a date, this is going to be a byline, this is going to be content, this is going to be an image, et cetera. When I'm happy with how I have the content, you know, I could save it and it's just seen by me, or I could sit here and I can go to publish and I can publish that out for everyone to see. And so that's sort of the controlled publishing aspect of this. And so I have like four of these that are slightly different. You know, they just have different image and different content or whatever, but we could create a roll-up to sort of bring all these to the top, so to speak. So if we imagine, whoops, I didn't have that marked, but if we go back a little bit here and we go over to my page real quick, which I put right here. This is sort of a bland page, but it was just to drive home a point that we are rolling up content from another area. So you can imagine this being like, you know, a nice looking portal with, you know, all kinds of stuff, and you want to bring in the news from the news site up to the top level site. And so you know, the news articles are below this site, and I'm rolling them up with a content query web part. So if I put this in edit mode really quick, you can see kind of how the content query web part was built for this.
So one of the things to consider while we're kind of waiting for this to come back up is we're just leveraging the out-of-the-box feature or the out-of-the-box fields right now. But it'd also be, you could certainly create your own custom metadata that you could tag stuff through. So if you had wanted to create like a field that determined like, you know, what type of information is this, and then based on how you tag that information, you can have it roll up to different areas of the site.
Exactly. So I've brought, put the page in edit mode, and then I clicked on edit web part, and that brought up sort of the content query features here that we can mess with. And so we can see here that what I'm doing is I'm rolling up pages from a sub-site, Sites Contoso Waffle News, right? And I could pick any site that has pages, I could pick lists, et cetera. In this case, I've picked that news site, and I've said, okay, it's gonna use a pages library for what it's gonna roll up, not a list. And it's gonna only bring back things that are using the article page content type. And when I put that page in edit mode, you could see that there are article things, like a byline, a date, and things like that. That's because it was using the article page content type. So it's not going to roll up. If there are any other pages in there that are using a different content type, it wouldn't have picked those up. If we wanted to, we could filter it. You know, we could say only show certain dates, et cetera. We could sort it in different directions. And then like right here, we could see that I'm sorting it by article date, and it's ascending, and I'm limiting it to 15. Like, I could limit it to less if I wanted to. And then I created a custom style right here. And you know, what that's doing is basically just showing my image on the left and, you know, a short, you know, snippet of the page right there. And so you put all that together and you've got yourself, you know, a roll-up. You can roll up information from other areas of the site, and then if somebody were to change one of those pages, update the page, et cetera, the roll-up would get it. So like a month from now, John posts some new news articles, you know, our department page could roll those up and show us what they look like here. And so let me just save it real quick. And so, you know, because they're rolling up those pages, the link just clicks off to the news article. And so that's sort of how you can get a little bit of WCM into your intranet, if you will.
And one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this is whenever we've talked with some folks that are specifically business users that are very, very focused on kind of SharePoint and collaboration, a lot of times they're not aware of kind of the capabilities that are available over on the publishing side of things. You know, but this idea of what page layouts bring to the table and content query web parts and everything really are a nice, one of our favorite tools, at least for creating great intranets, is around how we roll that information up. But, you know, like we say, that really great technical solutions are really only half the battle. We could come up with the greatest, coolest technical solution that anybody has ever conceived of, but if people can't use it effectively, what good is it?
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of collaboration products on the market. You know, but when you look at, you know, what is possible to customize and easy to use and govern and all of that, you know, SharePoint is at the top of the list. But you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, really, we're using our cooking analogy, but who are the cooks in the kitchen? You know, you want to make sure that you're creating something and you're keeping it in mind. You're keeping usability in mind as you're creating these great technical solutions, how people can go around. When we typically talk about branding, we'll talk about usability, but I thought it was important to kind of throw a couple things in here as it relates to creating intranets. Oftentimes, we'll see sites that, you know, maybe look like a slightly nicer version of that horrific site that I showed you earlier. But when you think about it, you know, you want to keep it, less is more. Keep your site clean and simple. Whenever people go to your site, they shouldn't have to think too hard about where it is that they need to go to look at things. And depending on how big your implementation is, you know, usability testing is always an option. But for even the most simple, basic sites, you know, don't turn your homepage into a big link fest with a thousand different options on the homepage. And we always hear about this thing called the three-click rule. And I wanted to put this on here. Not because, just because I think in some respects it's a myth. There's the whole idea that I'll hear a lot of times customers quote back to me that we need to create something so that any bit of content that they create can be accessed in three-click rule, or within three clicks. And it's true, it's a great rule of thumb, but the reality is that usability research shows that users are okay with clicking more than three times as long as they feel like they're getting somewhere. Don't purposely go out and be like, hey, I'm going to see if I can get everybody where they need in 15 clicks.
Challenge.
But, you know, keep that in mind that if you happen to find some important content that takes maybe two or three clicks or even four clicks, it's okay. As long as people don't feel like they're getting into a point where they're going in circles and not able to get where they're going. It's like trying to find your way around here. Whenever I tried to find this room, as long as I felt like I was turning down a hallway and getting closer to our room, I was okay. You know, the other thing, and this is kind of my thing. I think I may have pulled this from Smashing Mag as well, but consider the fact that you have different users, you have different audiences, and you have different users look for content or seek content in different ways. Some use navigation, and I often find that people spend almost too much time focused on navigation because not all users navigate with navigation. I think it's a great, I mean, you absolutely have to have decent navigation. But other people, you know, when you go to CNN or ESPN or whatever your favorite site is out there, you know, chances are you're not always going to be using the navigation. Sometimes you're going to see a big story on the homepage that looks interesting. You're going to click on it. You're going to navigate the site through the content on the page. So don't forget about the content on the page is a valuable way to get people to log, you know, to go through your site. Navigation is important, but, you know, let's say there's a big event going on in your company or something like that, and you got a big, you know, news bulletin on the homepage, I mean, people might, it's not a bad thing, you know, nope. So that's another way that people look for content. I showed you search. More and more users are becoming search-centric, these days, I'll know exactly the URL for a site that I want to go to, and I will still open up a search engine, type it in, you know, get the URL link and click on it just because. And I don't know why, but I mean, a lot of people do that, and it's the same thing in SharePoint. Remember that lots of your users are still going to search, so when you're going in and creating your content on your intranet site, make sure that there's enough metadata so people can actually get something useful back from search. And also, I cut this last one, shortcuts for frequent users. That means if you know where you're going, you know that exact department site that you need to find, but you're not really sure where the link is, give people a site map or some sort of way to, like an alphabetical list of all your sites or something like that, so you could cut through all the other options and go straight to where you're needing.
Branding time.
Yeah, so all of this stuff is great. We often tie it together with great branding to improve usability. Exactly. and other things.
So how many people know what this is, what this picture represents here? What is it? Microsoft Store, that's right. Doesn't have a sign on the outside. If you look at the big picture, there's one way inside. But how do we know that that's the Microsoft store, right? Well, they put that little logo up there that at first no one really kind of recognized because it didn't look like the old Windows logo. But as the Surface has come out and all those types of things, we see that that's basically the new branding for Microsoft. And so they're basically putting that out there to kind of give us a new modern look for how Microsoft is. When you go through the mall, you see that symbol, you know that's Microsoft. And that's them kind of using branding to their advantage to kind of show us what they've got. And then that branding sort of, you know, it permeates through all of their things. You know, you've probably seen this type of branding around the conference here, I bet. And when you go to their website, you see it, et cetera. It doesn't look like the old Microsoft. It looks like the new sort of image they're trying to put out there. And so I grabbed this quote from this gentleman here. But basically, branding is the promise that a company makes and the consistency at which they deliver it. And so a lot of that is like public-facing stuff. You know, in this session, we're talking about intranets. But, you know, you want to put this image out there that, you know, Microsoft is a fun, you know, fun company to work with. And they're putting it out there on all their assets. But they also probably do stuff, you know, on their intranet. And so here's, you know, your default, you know, SharePoint site, and your employees are going to this site. And if this is all you've got, then it doesn't really push that brand forward to them and make them feel like they're in a sort of unified environment. Where here is like sort of a sample intranet design where we took the stuff that you saw before and we applied a custom master page to it, and we kind of, you know, you can imagine this company's colors are red, et cetera, and it sort of brings together this idea that everybody is at a website that matters inside of your organization. Because, you know, you may have a lot of sources of information that your employees go to, some of it less important than others. You probably want your portal to be something that has value or whatever. And so that's sort of what this slide is talking about here, is that, you know, you want to make your intranet distinguished from everything else that your employees see day to day. And it also enforces consistency so that, you know, they get the idea of the colors and fonts and logos and the messaging, et cetera. And it also helps with teamwork. So, like, you know, you may have a team that's off working on some secret project or whatever, but they're all kind of coming to this one location, and they all sort of have the same look and feel. Maybe they have a slightly different color for the finance department, but they still sort of push out that idea.
And especially, I mean, this is one of the things I've worked with a lot of companies that have offices all over the place, and a lot of times people have remote workers. And so they're all logging into the same place, and you want someone to feel like they identify with whoever the company is, no matter where they're located. And, you know, one of the things that I always talk about is that if you walk into a room that is well-appointed and, you know, well-designed, like I went out and in my office, I had like architects or designers or whatever kind of figure out an office for me so that I could figure out a space that worked really well for me. And it does. It's very functional and it looks good, and I like being in my office. I mean, not too much, but I like being in my office when I'm supposed to be there. But you take that to the other side. I mean, what if I created just a purely functional office that had a folding table and a wooden chair and a crummy light or whatever? You know, it elicits a very different feeling. And so, I don't want to diminish the idea of branding has more than just aesthetic value.
Yes.
There is actual, you know, not only from usability, but, you know, there's really, I would encourage everybody to at least spend a little bit of time on some branding.
Yeah, and I think one little secret for that we always tell people is don't call your intranet the SharePoint site. Call it something. Call it, in that case, it was called Inside Corp or whatever, but, you know, call it the landing pad. Call it, I think we saw Spot was in the keynote. And that way, you tell people, go to the Spot site, log in, see your stuff. And that way, if they've been on a really poorly set up SharePoint site in the past where they had to do their timesheets or whatever and they hated it, at least people aren't immediately resistant to going to it. And also it helps, you know, distinguish it from other maybe SharePoint sites you may have internal to your company.
Maybe even have a little bit of fun with it. And,
yes.
You know, if you're still trying to figure out what your company's intranet is, maybe have a contest.
Exactly. So we want to just talk briefly about the ways that you brand SharePoint Online. We're not going to go too heavily into this. If you want to learn more about it, you could check out our previous session's video, which was already done earlier today, where we dove into actually doing a lot of this stuff. And you can actually see it, because that was both farm and online, and the two things are very similar. But your options in SharePoint Online are basically this. If you want to do some simple branding, you want to add some colors and fonts and a background image, maybe add a logo, you can use Composed Looks to do that. And that was what, during the keynote, they first showed Composed Looks, which is where they just really quickly applied a nice-looking background to the site and some colors and things like that. And then if you want to take it a little bit further than that, if you have publishing, so you have to have the enterprise SKU, or you can kind of do this on the public-facing site in SharePoint Online. There's something called the Design Manager, and that's what we talked about a lot in our previous session, which essentially lets you make branding for SharePoint without being myself, without being an expert and knowing everything about what goes into making that branding. If you know how to do HTML and CSS and you have a design that already works, you can actually map a drive, you could drag that in there, and you could say convert that to functioning SharePoint branding and apply it to your site. And so you don't have to spend a lot of time working on it and get a pretty good result out of it. And then if you really want to go crazy and make something, you know, really nice looking, you could actually maybe learn about custom master pages and page layouts, content roll-ups like I showed you in the content query web part, maybe do some custom dev so that maybe you want to have a content rotator. We do that for a lot of our clients, have a custom rotator on the top that sort of spins news items by, which is kind of like what you were talking about earlier. Mega drop-down maybe to help with navigation, things like that.
So. And I think one of the important things to call out here is that these options right here for SharePoint Online are not any different from the options that we talked about in our previous session,
really,
which was farm-based. So really, depending on what it is that you want to do, whether it's in branding or a lot of other stuff, you know, you don't really have to make too many compromises in the way of the difference between what's offered in the cloud versus what's offered on premises.
I was just going to try to show you a few things really quick. We're not going to go into like really how we put these together, but I wanted to show you this is a feature of publishing that if we have publishing enabled, we can change master pages really easily. And I've uploaded some master pages just to show you that we could change the entire look of the site just by doing this. And if you were in our session earlier, we showed this. This waffles one, so it's a little bit of a repeat if you've seen that before. So
I bet it's going to be about waffles.
It's going to be about breakfasts for sure. And so if we apply that to our site, you can see this is the same site we showed you before, right? But now we've got an entirely different look on it. You know, the navigation is a lot bigger, flyout's a lot more interesting perhaps. The content rearranged itself, so you know, in this fixed width display, we might have wanted to change the page layout so that things weren't quite as scrunched or whatever, but that's something we could work on later. But essentially, we've got the same exact thing, except for now, it looks a lot like an internet site. And this might be what you would do for your portal, where down lower in the site, you would have more of a composed look applied to it. And actually, you know, you have full width, and you can do, the collaborative type of stuff. And I wanted to show you one more real quick. Even though I showed a screenshot of it, I'll show it real quick. This is the that Inside Corp one right here that we made. Little bit, it may seem less involved, but it was a little bit more involved because we put some jQuery stuff in it and things like that to kind of make it fancier. If I go up here,
it's cloud themed.
It is cloud themed. Well, there we go. It came in there. Let me see, find a page that's a little bit. If I make the browser smaller, you'll see real quick. See here, like if I scroll this, the clouds kind of stay over it or what have you. And so if, it's just kind of a fun thing for people. And if they get sick of it, I made like a little button to close it, and then a cookie gets set, and it never shows that again or what have you. And so this is maybe a little bit more collaborative. It stretches a little bit further so that people could, you know, maybe get into here and, do various, get their business done and that kind of thing. And so that's an example of, you can see we've got the same exact content we showed you before, but now we're making it look, you know, a lot more compelling. And so you could do that. Or you could do a composed look if you wanted to keep it really simple. I'll show you that really quick. Let me go put the master page back where it was.
I mean, as you can see as he's clicking on that, I mean, when you look at this branding or whatever, it looks like it kind of pulls you in a little bit more than, I mean, this is the blue is very...
soothing?
Standard.
Yes, it's the standard look and feel.
You know, but, it kind of adds a little bit of something, makes it, I mean... It doesn't. It's all the same content, but just putting a different...
Exactly. And so you may have seen this in the keynote or what have you, but you can also go to change the look. And this is something you can do where there's other things. I spent some effort making those, right? And if you don't want to do that, you could just go in here and use one of these, you know, that are already out there. And they're actually somewhat configurable. So, like, I like to go to the Sea Monster one because it's probably the craziest one on there. And, you know, maybe this is right for your organization. Probably not, though, right? But you could change out the background image with whatever you want. You could change out the site logo. You could pick different colors. You know, if your company is Mary Kay or something and you've got pink, you know, you can apply that to your site and get something that, you know, matches with your company's intranet and what you want it to look like and that kind of thing. And so those are a few options. And, so I think that you could put those to use to kind of make something that looks nice for your site. So you get this little thing right here. In 1 second, it shows you. You can see I picked that pink color just to be obnoxious. And if I say, yes, keep it, it's actually going to just apply that to the site. And so you can use that as a really simple, no-code way of applying style to your site.
And if you're at all interested, check out our session again earlier. We go in a lot more detail about making all of these individual branding changes and everything.
So it doesn't look that much like the original. Didn't have to lift a finger really to make that. So that's one of your options as well. So
at the very end, you know, we're going to talk about bringing it all together. We talked about all these different pieces, but what do you do with all of this stuff? You know, this we're kind of going back to the original arrows. You know, we talked about the planning, we talked about the branding, we talked about the migration. The final piece is migration. There's some new arrows down there at the bottom for user training and support that we're gonna talk about those last three arrows in just a second. But once you get done with all of that, what I'm trying to get by my arrow there at the bottom is to say, the idea here with a lot of the intranets that we make, we know that intranet's gonna live and breathe, and we don't have to try to shoot for the moon in one shot. It makes perfect sense to stand up something, turn it on, get your users in it, using it. And I always like to say that whenever the users get in and they start using it, their perspective's gonna change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, but it's gonna change. And when you get it up there and people start using things, and once they kind of understand what they do like and what they don't like, it gives you a chance to then iterate and go back and do something again, do a phase two. So breaking up your implementations into phases is a great plan. It's one of my tips that I always make sure whenever I talk about making things. I always want to make sure people understand that phases are good. I want to talk about migration just real quick. There's a few ways that you can kind of get content into your site. You can start from scratch, meaning that you just ignore everything else that you have. Another option would be what we refer to as kind of a gravity migration, which is the idea that as you use content, you move it into the new site. So that's just kind of, it just naturally, eventually, you'll get all the stuff that you use into production. Or you can do something where you use where you migrate all of the content into your portal, whether you do that manually or whether you use a third-party tool to do that. Lots of different options to do it. Realistically, most of the people that we see are doing a combination of all these things. I always say if you're moving from an old house to a new house, you know, chances are that you're going to want to, you know, sometimes your old house is kind of a mess and you're not necessarily going to migrate a mess or move a mess into a new mess. So in some cases, some stuff is going to get moved over exactly the same, but in other areas you might see opportunities for improvement. So, you know, keep that in mind and just make sure that you allocate enough time to do all this because it's not, it doesn't all just happen automatically. Again, adoption is the key to success. Your users need to feel like whenever they've got their new site that it's solving real problems and that they have, solving pain points. Hopefully it's making their lives easier. But you want to make sure that, keep that usability in mind. And there's a bunch of different ways that you can kind of help get people up to speed. I would say most of the stuff should be reasonably obvious. You know, when you go to your site, you shouldn't need a user manual in order to kind of do the basic tasks on a site. You can give people training, basic documentation, and lots of other things. But, you know, and the last point, I think it doesn't happen enough in organizations, share success stories. Like my wife's organization uses her site as an example that they share around to everybody else to say, hey, you know, she did something good. Why can't you do that? You should do something like this too. And I've heard lots of organizations that have had a lot of have internal SharePoint user groups and have done really great things and really helped to drive adoption. And those organizations that do that are the ones where SharePoint is thriving and doing and they get people that are just so excited and continuing to come up with new great ways to get more information out of things. Please feel free to reach out to us after this presentation. You can check out our blogs. Always happy to say hi on Twitter. So if you've got any questions, reach out to us or send us an email if there's anything that you can't figure out. But
come by, ask us questions. We'll also be at our booth giving out some books at 4.
Yeah, we will be. Right? I think it's at 3:30.
My bad.
3:30. But then we will also be at the Ask the Experts tonight. So if you have any questions, come out and talk to us, or we'll be up here for a few minutes. But
thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good rest of the week.
Be sure to rate this session if you liked it.